This morning's scripture reading comes from Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. You can follow along in your worship guide, or you can read it on page 922 in your church Bible. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. It is absolutely true and given to us in love.
Have you ever noticed how quickly a little bit of uncertainty can hijack your mind? Our daughter Sybil was born in June 2020. If you remember what was going on then, the whole world was feeling uncertainty. And that was the month that COVID really shut everything down. And so the day before her scheduled C-section, I'm at work in our church office when I spike a fever. Now, there was a brief moment where we thought this might just be me reaping the consequences of wearing sweaters in June in Florida. But once I started throwing up everywhere, we knew, nope, I'm sick. So Becca calls the hospital, tells them what's going on, and they say, well, he can't come. And immediately, our minds started spiraling over the what ifs. What if I miss Sybil's birth? What if Becca has to go alone? What if I can't hold my new baby? To say I felt out of control is a bit of an understatement. I mean, this is the 11th hour. We got the go bag packed for the hospital. We got family coming down. We are ready to go. Everything comes to a screeching halt. I don't know about you, but when my mind starts spiraling like that, I don't feel peace. I feel like I'm just losing my grip. Well, Paul the Apostle, he knew what that feeling was like too. Paul spent the first few chapters of this letter reminding us about the gospel. The good news that because of the cross and resurrection, when our Father looks at us, if it's true of Jesus, it's now true of you. And now Paul's showing us here how that same grace gives us real peace when our lives start to feel out of control. Now, if you're like me, when you hear peace, maybe a little wall can go up. It's one of those words that can sound like a nice thing to cross-stitch on like a pillow somewhere for your couch, but you start to wonder, does that actually work in the messiness of real life? A lot of times we think about peace as the absence of chaos, or maybe some just kind of mellow state of mind that we can get ourselves in. But when Paul talks about peace here, he's actually not talking about your circumstances calming down. He's talking about being tethered to something unshakable in your uncertainty. It's something that Paul and his friends here in Philippi need every day. Paul, he's writing this letter from prison, knowing he might not make it out alive. And on top of all of that, rivals are trying to sabotage his life's work. And his friends in Philippi weren't doing much better. Harrison reminded us last week, they were facing financial stress, they got political pressure, church conflict, a lot to feel anxious about. And 2,000 years later, we are still living with uncertainty. We've got an unexpected bill that came up that we can't pay. We've got a new boss at our job who's changing everything up. or maybe it's heavier than that. Maybe you see one of your kids slowly walking away from the Lord, a diagnosis that you did not see coming, a marriage that feels like it's just slipping away. You know, the author Curtis Chang says anxiety is the fear of future loss. Something out in the future feels uncertain. It could be a day from now, a month from now, a year from now, and we get worried. We can get stuck thinking over all the what ifs or doing everything that we can to try to control the situation. But what if instead of dwelling on the worst case scenario, or trying to force an outcome, we could tether ourselves to something immovable and experience real peace? Well, if you want that, then let's look at how Paul opens the door to that for us today. You know, Paul's showing us here that peace isn't something we just stumble into. It comes as we tether our lives to God's goodness. It starts with what we think about. In verse 8, Paul gives us this beautiful list, right? Whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. Think about these things. That word that Paul uses here for think, it means to like mull on something, to chew on it, to kind of turn it over and over in your mind until it starts to shape how you see your world. It's kind of like this. You know, when I was growing up, we had a dog named Ginger. Whenever people would come over, we'd get her this thick beef bone to keep her distracted. And she would go like crazy for this thing. I swear she could smell it like once you got in the door with it. And so she'd chew on this for hours and hours, like turning it over and over. No part of this bone was left untouched. You know, you'd be sitting there having dinner, trying to like talk to someone, and you just hear from under the table like, it was the worst part was when she wanted you to play fetch with it inside, and you're like, I mean, it's hardwood floors here. I don't know if we should do this. That's what Paul's telling us to do here. He's saying, chew on these things. Turn them over and over in your mind. Find all sorts of new parts of them. But this isn't just happy thoughts to help us avoid reality. This list is describing a person. He's painting a portrait here of the character of God. You see, when we start to get anxious, our minds can get tethered to the fear of that looming bill or the stress of that strained relationship, because those things, they feel most real. And Paul's saying here, no, instead, look at the truth, the honor, the loveliness of our Father. Chew on those realities until they become more real to us than whatever we're facing. You know, Paul knows thinking isn't enough. And so in verse 9, he shifts to our habits. He says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. When I was a pastor in Orlando, I loved taking guys out to this like tiny little driving range. This was like, you got Topgolf up here, and then this was like a field with a bucket of balls and like a guy out front. And so I loved doing it because it was a really easy way to just kind of talk over life while we're hitting some balls. There was just one problem. I'm terrible at golf. Like, terrible. Okay, I'm the guy at the driving range that like lines up, like gets ready for the big shot, scuffs the ground, like right in front of the tee, hits the ball, it dribbles like 6 feet out in front of me, and then I'm wondering, like, is it okay for me to step out and like scoop my ball back and take another shot with it? But the more I showed up, my muscles, they slowly started to remember what to do. I mean, I am not Evan Madden, right? Like smashing it down the fairway. I did hit the guy in the golf cart once who's driving around, but I started to pick up over time the habits of hitting a ball. Well, when Paul says practice these things, he isn't saying master it on your first shot. He's inviting us into the process of shaping our daily habits around what we've learned from him. About the truth, the justice, the excellency of our Father. This is the muscle memory of faith. And when we dwell on God's character and we walk in his ways, we're tethering our lives to his goodness. And that's where real peace comes. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, those sudden feelings of worry won't come up anymore, or that we'll never get anxious about the future. And that's okay, because peace isn't the absence of uncertainty. It's being tethered to something immovable in it. And this is the foundation that God's designed for all of us. When life gets uncertain, being tethered to his goodness gives us peace. But is that what always happens when things get uncertain? You know, when the alarm bells of anxiety and worry start ringing in our heads? No. You know, a lot of times in those moments, I find myself getting tethered to something else. Now, here's something I think is really important to distinguish here. Hearing those alarm bells go off, feeling that sudden urge of fear, that's not inherently sinful. We're finite creatures who don't know the future. You know, we're living in a world full of change that we can't control. Anxiety, it's a part of life while we wait. For as Paul says in chapter 3, Christ to transform our earthly bodies to be like his glorious body. And it's something that can be incredibly heavy. I know. I've had my own struggles with anxiety. So much that there was a period in my life where I needed some medication just to help stabilize me. And if that's you too, there's no shame in that. The problem isn't that the alarm bells go off. It's how we respond to them. You know, so often our response can be the photo negative of what Paul's inviting us into here. Instead of mulling on God's character, we start to spiral over worst case scenarios. Right, it's the night before your daughter's supposed to be born. You might have this virus that nobody really knows a whole lot about at this point, and the hospital says you can't be there. We turn those what-ifs over and over in our minds. We can get stuck on a situation, kind of running through every single angle of how it might go wrong. We ruminate on a future interaction, trying to plan out the exact right thing to say. We get stuck in a loop of trying to come up with a scenario that could avoid whatever loss it is that we're worried about. And as we start to spiral, we can also scramble. You know, instead of walking in the muscle memory of faith, start trying to control our circumstances. You know, we start overcommitting at our job, overworking on a problem, overextending in a relationship, hoping that we can guarantee a different outcome. And the tricky thing is, above the surface, all of this can look like someone who's just a hard worker or a concerned parent or a thoughtful planner. I'm the worst at that. But below the surface, there's something else going on. See, when we're dwelling over the what ifs, a little part of us that's trying to be all-knowing. We tell ourselves, if we could just think about a problem long enough or look at it from enough angles, we can protect ourselves from the pain of it. Or when we grasp for control, that there's something in us that wants in that moment to be all-powerful. That if we try hard enough or work long enough, we can avoid whatever loss that we're worried about. And deep down, driving all of this is a distrust in God's goodness. We untether our lives from what's true and pure and worthy of praise. And our hearts start telling us, God is not going to be good to me tomorrow, so I've got to create my own peace today. We get stuck in this exhausting, self-defeating loop. Because the more we try to map out every scenario or turn over a situation from every angle, reality is the more things feel unstable. And coping skills, things like that, those are helpful, but this cycle we ultimately can't break by just our own willpower. We need rescue from that exhausting loop. And that's what Paul gives us here in verse 9. It's not advice. It's not a state of mind to achieve. It's a person. He says, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, last week in the verses that Harrison looked at, we got the gift, the peace of God. This week, we get the giver, the God of peace. Here's the promise in our worry. The God of peace will be with us. Paul doesn't say the God of peace will be behind us. He's with us in the past, but now he's kind of moved on to other things. He doesn't say he's ahead of us, kind of cheering us on from the other side of whatever our worries are. He doesn't say he's over us, detached, kind of watching from a safe distance, or below us. Got good intentions, but he's really unable to help us with whatever we're facing. No, he says the God of peace is with us. He's not aloof or uninvolved. He's our fully engaged Father. This is what we need. When life gets uncertain, when the what-ifs start coming and we start to realize, I'm not in control right now. We need to know the God of peace is right there with us. Guys, peace isn't the absence of uncertainty. Peace is the presence of God in it. But how can the God of peace, how can he be with us? Because when I look at my own heart, even just this last week, I see how often I distrust his goodness, doubt his presence. How can the true and just and pure God, how can he promise to be with me? Because of who in the gospel we get connected to. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus faced the ultimate worst case scenario. Shame, death, being cut off from his father. The stress was so unbearable that Jesus, the only person without an ounce of sin, sweat drops like blood, praying, "Father, if there is any other way, take this cup from me." And yet, even here, facing the greatest future loss anyone could ever suffer, Jesus, he didn't reach for control. Out of lavish love for broken people like all of us, he perfectly dwelled on God's character and walked in his ways. He tethered his whole life in that moment to God's goodness and let his Father lead him then all the way to the cross, where Jesus endured the greatest loss of peace. See, from before the world began, all the Son of God knew was perfect, loving communion with his Father. But there, on the cross, Jesus chose to give that up. In Jesus' worst moment, the God of peace was not with him. Instead, as Christ hung there taking on the weight of our sin, the Father turned his face away. But it doesn't end there. Now, as David prayed in Psalm 16, God wouldn't abandon Jesus or leave his Holy One in the pit. While Jesus lay in the grave and his disciples were all spiraling over the what-ifs, the God of peace there was with his Son and raised him up from the dead. And that same with you presence is now your permanent reality. If the Father's with Jesus, he's now with you because by faith you and Jesus are one. Meaning now when you're overwhelmed and you're feeling out of control, God, he doesn't lob down a pep talk at you or scold you to have more faith. No, he promises us his presence. He says, neither death or life, things present, things to come, nothing will be able to separate us from his love. And when the alarm bells of anxiety start going off, we start playing out all the worst case scenarios or trying to force an outcome, God, he doesn't condemn us or leave us stuck in our worry. He gives us more grace. The gospel says the price for our distrust, my distrust and grasping for control, has already been paid in full. And because we're connected to Jesus, the Father's same with you presence that rose Jesus from the grave is now with us in whatever we're facing. Even when we struggle to feel it. And so because through Christ, the God of peace has permanently secured our peace, guys, we're free. We're free to drop the exhausting illusion of control. We can start to move from spiraling over what-ifs or scrambling to force an outcome to dwelling on God's character and walking in his ways. By his grace alive in us, we can slowly start to experience real peace. The presence of God in our uncertainty as we tether our lives to his proven goodness. So when the alarm bells start ringing, how do we do that? We'll look back at what Paul says in verse 8. Whatever's true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about it. You know, Paul here, like I said, he's not just giving us happy thoughts to ignore reality. He's describing a person. He's painting a portrait of the character of God. So where do we most vividly see the truth, the purity, the loveliness of God? Where is he most worthy of praise? The gospel. We see it in other places, to be sure. But the gospel's where God's truth, his justice, his excellency shine brighter than anywhere else. It's the place where God's undeniably proven to us his goodness, and Paul is inviting us here to dwell on that reality. To chew on the gospel like my dog with her bone until it starts to change the way that we look at our circumstances. And here's the best part. You don't need some perfectly quiet, uninterrupted hour of your life every day to do this. All you need is a tangible reminder. Just take one concrete truth about Jesus. Maybe it's about how he gave up his own peace in the garden so that you wouldn't have to face an uncertain future alone. Take that, write it down somewhere. Put it somewhere that you'll see it. And when those alarm bells start ringing, you don't have to, in that moment, try to work up this deep, intense state of focus. Just look down at that note. And as you feel that sudden impulse of worry, let that truth remind you that despite what you can't see or control, the God of peace is there with you right now. And as you receive that grace, the Holy Spirit will start to build in you the muscle memory of faith. I mean, that's how Paul could write all of this here from a Roman prison cell, not knowing if he'd even make it out alive. Because he was in Christ, Jesus was rewiring the muscle memory of Paul's heart. He knew he wasn't trying to get the giver of peace to come into his situation. God was already right there with him in those chains. And guys, by faith, that same grace is alive in you and me. So when the alarm bells of worry start going off, we can remember what Jesus promised in John 14. I won't leave you as orphans, but I'll give you my Spirit, who now is the God of peace with us. And with the Spirit inside of us, we can now allow our next move to be shaped by God's goodness. We get to pause and ask ourselves, what would my next step look like right now if the God of peace was really with me? Now, this isn't a one-and-done thing, right? None of this is like, all right, you heard one sermon, presto, boom, fixed. This is something we'll grow into the rest of our lives. We'll get anxious. We will have moments where we'll worry about the future because we live in a world full of uncertainty. But the gospel gives us real peace right there. Not the absence of uncertainty, but our Father who's with us in our worry. I mean, just look at the cross. Jesus willingly endured the ultimate chaos, the terrifying loss of peace, the deepest loneliness of abandonment, so you would never have to. And because he rose, you can know that his Father is always with you. In your uncertainties, your worries, your fear about tomorrow. The God of peace is already standing in it. He's with you. His arms are open. He's the peace that comes and finds you in Jesus. Amen. Amen.